Window World, the official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs, presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at windowskansascity.com.
We will stop short of saying there's trouble in paradise, but there is drama building at Chiefs camp in St. Joseph, Missouri, as all-world defensive lineman Chris Jones is holding out at $50,000 a day, under contract, his second contract, a lucrative deal, looking for another contract, even more money. We can have the discussion and the debate of whether or not Chris Jones is worth more money, whether or not the Chiefs should pony up. It becomes a very difficult proposition for the Chiefs to pay all their star players. Travis Kelce has been very open this offseason, talking about how little money he makes here in Kansas City compared to what he probably could make if he let his contract expire, became a free agent, or played hardball with the Chiefs. The reality of this is quite simple. When you pay your quarterback what the Chiefs are paying their quarterback, and there's no end in sight to that happening, this is going to go on for another decade. When you do that, there's really not enough money to pay other superstar players what they are worth to other teams. So that's where Chris Jones falls in on this thing, and the Chiefs don't have a lot of great options here. The drama that's building is the tone of all this has changed. Andy Reid, prior to training camp, said, oh, there's open dialogue, there's good discussion, we're talking to his people. Now he talks in past tense, like, well, we had some dialogue going, and it sounds like not much is going on the Chris Jones front right now. Whether or not he winds up having to pay his $50,000 for every day that he's missing of camp is above my pay grade. These things can sometimes get swept under the rug or hidden when it's all over. But Andy Reid sounds a little bit surprised that Chris Jones is not at camp. I think they thought after a few days, he'll be coming in, he's under contract, and there's no real need for him to be there now. It's a time-honored tradition in the NFL that if you're a star player and you have a way to skip some days of training camp, you do that. You take advantage of that. Players don't like training camp much. They don't. And the shorter it is for the players, the better. So is Chris Jones just hanging out for a week or two and will show up and maybe play the final year of his contract and become a free agent at the end of the year? I don't know. The Chiefs could sign him to a new deal. I would think he fits in the category like Kelce of, I like it here. I want to finish my days in Kansas City. I want to play on this team. I think Chris Jones is that guy, but not everyone is that guy. Tyreek Hill clearly was not that guy. He wants to get paid. He wanted to make the most money he could possibly make. And the Chiefs, of course, traded him. That brings up the question, would the Chiefs consider trading Chris Jones? Would they trade him to a team that would pay him exactly what he's asking for? Because the Chiefs clearly are not going to give him what he's asking for. I think that ship has sailed. He's going to have to play for a little bit less to stay here and win more Super Bowls. Or is he the guy that says, I've done all I can in Kansas City. He had 15 and a half sacks last year. The Chiefs won another Super Bowl. He's won a pair of them. Now he may be thinking, I got a chance to be in the Hall of Fame. I got two Super Bowl titles with Kansas City, big defensive numbers. I've accomplished everything in my career that I set out to accomplish. Now it's time to get paid. And I even understand that rationale. And we've seen this through the years with the dynasty that the New England Patriots had. You know, Brady and Belichick stayed, but the other parts just moved around a lot. And the Patriots just didn't pay people. They didn't pay offensive linemen. They didn't pay running backs. They really largely didn't pay wide receivers even. But they would get star players and wave goodbye to them because they had this quarterback. And Brady would even take some pay cuts and do some different things. And I think Mahomes will probably recognize that in certain years here as we go forward, that it might be time for him to do something that would help the team with the cap as well. But they talk a little bit in the past tense, like the discussions that were happening are not happening right now, and the Chiefs may be getting ready to play hardball with Chris Jones. What you really don't want to do is lose a player for nothing. What you don't want to do is force him to play this final year, and then he walks away mad as a free agent, and you get nothing. You'd actually be better off trading him right now. If you're not going to get a deal done, and some team out there wants to pay him exactly what he wants, you're probably better off trading the player, as much as I hate saying that. But I don't know, and we don't know. They're not going to say how contentious this thing is. There are a lot of players in this league under contract that want to get paid. A lot. Most notably, the running backs. I don't know if you've been following what's happening with running backs around the NFL, but apparently there was a Zoom call this weekend between running backs of different teams. Josh Jacobs of the Raiders is basically saying he's prepared to sit out the entire preseason, but he's going to be probably tagged or have to play under his contract, and he wants a new deal. The Chiefs have been ahead of the curve on this. The Chiefs haven't paid a running back in forever, and the Chiefs just don't spend any money at running back. They plug in veteran guys like Jerick McKinnon, who's just a guy, but we saw him last year score, what, touchdowns in six straight games? At one point in this offense, there's no reason to pay big money to a running back. You're paying it to Mahomes, and a lot of guys can do the job. Honestly, that's just what running back has become in the NFL. But there's a real struggle out there right now between running backs, and they're not happy with what's going on in the NFL. The Chiefs were one of the first teams to just not pay a running back. Now, teams with exceptional running backs are basically franchise tagging them. They're not signing them to long-term deals. They do not want to invest in the position, and it's become an epidemic. And so these players are out here all over the place, the running backs, complaining that something has to be done with the pay structure in the NFL as it pertains to running back. This is the natural order of business. When you collectively bargain as a union, which the players do, and I think their deal is roughly half of the revenue goes toward the salary cap. When you do that, teams are going to pick and choose where they spend money. Punters don't make as much money as quarterbacks. Well, running backs have sort of thought of themselves as the, you know, for decades, running backs have thought, well, this is a very important position. We're star players. The NFL treats them as expendable now. That the best running back in the league isn't that much different from the lesser running backs in the league. So a man named Joel Corey, who used to be an agent, writes for CBS Sports, and here's his rundown of running backs and what's going on in the NFL right now. And he writes, 2023 has been a terrible year for veteran running backs. The number of running backs with contracts averaging $12 million per year or more has been cut in half this season thanks to releases and pay cuts. There were eight at the end of last season. There are only four in the NFL now. NFL teams exercised fiscal restraint with running backs in free agency this year. Nobody hit the $7 million mark, which represents the top of the second salary tier for running back compensation, with a deal like what James Conner and Leonard Fournette did in 2022 free agency. The three running backs designated as franchise players are Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, and Tony Pollard. They did not get multi-year contracts before the July 17th deadline to sign long-term. Barkley and Jacobs are facing the prospect of playing 2023 for $10.09 million should they sign their franchise tender, which Pollard did back in March. Long-term deals are prohibited from being signed until the 2023 regular season ends on January 7th, 2024. So several high-profile running backs like Christian McCaffrey, Austin Eckler, Derrick Henry, Jonathan Taylor have been expressing their frustration about the plight of this and the situation with teams and running backs. Christian McCaffrey even went on Twitter and called the situation criminal. What they're doing to running backs, not signing them to long-term contracts. I'm going to go ahead and predict right now in the next collective bargaining agreement between the players and the owners, there's some sort of language in there for running backs or maybe different rules for running backs. They could set this up to where they could get to their free agency years faster at a younger age. We know the stats. We know that running backs burn up before 30 and nobody wants to invest in them long-term. And so we're seeing that all over the NFL, and the running backs aren't very happy about it. But there could be something different. They could have different rules for running backs, not a different salary structure, just different rules for when they could more quickly become free agents and have a little more leverage to go out and get a second contract. That might be fair. And then if you just don't value spending that money on your running back, you got to let them go somewhere else and get a long-term deal, because a lot of running backs just aren't getting second deals. They're going to get their first contract. They could get tagged for a couple of years at the end of it. Now you're 28, 29 years old. Team's probably done with you. Not interested in signing you long term. Other football news. This is kind of fun. The Washington Commanders have a new owner, and they want to change the name again. Remember, they were the Washington Redskins forever. And I think I was the first one to come up with this. I said, this is the easiest name change ever, because I love those sweaters and hoodies and stuff they have that just say Skins on them. They should have changed their name to Washington Pigskins. Well, apparently, it's the leading choice right now for the name change. This could actually happen. People laughed at me when I said they should be the Washington Pigskins. It's perfect. Everybody calls them the Skins anyway. The Skins, the Skins, the Skins. You're playing the Skins, the Pigskins. Great. They can keep their old logos. They can bring all this cool stuff in. Imagine, I mean, they famously had the Hogs, right? Weren't their fans called the Hogs at one point? The Pigskins would be so cool if they do that. They have other names they're considering, like the Washington Majors, the Washington Red Hawks, Red Tails, something with red at the beginning instead of Redskins. So I see where they're going with that. But I'm very excited that it's possible that they become the Washington Pigskins. I think that would be so fun. The New York Jets set out this year to provide for HBO the most boring Hard Knocks show ever. If you follow this at all, you know Aaron Rodgers and Saleh, their coach in New York, have said, they kind of thrust this on us. We didn't have any say in this, but we're not going to give them much. This is going to be boring and buttoned down. Well, that didn't last because they already had two fights break out on the field at Jets camp, which is kind of fun. Now, these were lame fights, I got to be honest. The training camp fights in 2023 compared to when I first began covering the Chiefs training camps in the 80s and the 90s, there were throwdowns. I mean, guys would swing their helmets and get to the ground and pile on. It was wild, man, some of the things that would happen. This looked pretty lame, but the Jets did get into a couple of skirmishes right in front of the Hard Knocks camera, so that's kind of cool. The best laid plans of trying to be boring and button it all down at Jets camp is not working out, and maybe we got some guys showboating a little bit for the cameras. Maybe they know they'll be part of this thing, but if you like Hard Knocks, there are some Jets fights coming to training camp near you. Shout out to our friends at Advantage Termite and Pest Control for sponsoring KKHI. They are the best pest control business anywhere in Kansas City. No matter where you live, Advantage will come to your home or business and treat you with great respect and care, pet friendly, safe for all your plants around the house, indoors and out, but they're going to get rid of those critters for you. AdvantageTPC.com is the website. That's Advantage TPC, Termite Pest Control. AdvantageTPC.com, 913-768-8989 if you'd like to make the switch to Advantage Termite and Pest Control. Fry Orthodontics, Dr. Jeremy and his team are creating beautiful smiles all over the Midwest. With 13 locations, there is one near you. First appointment is always free. If you mention the podcast, they'd love to give you a consultation and say, hey, listen, Invisalign might be right for you, braces could be right for you or your child or your grandchild, and provide that perfect smile for life. We had a wonderful time Friday evening, my mom's 90th birthday party we had for her. My daughter was here, and she's got a beautiful smile, and she was the recipient of a beautiful smile from Fry Orthodontics many, many years ago. I won't say how many years ago, but many years ago, Abby was there, and she is a very confident young lady and has that beautiful smile. And that's all part of it. Fry Orthodontics is online at fryorthodontics.com. And our friends, Gary and Dave and Cameron over at Joslyn's Jewelry, walk right on in there at 95th and Antioch and get treated just honestly like family. I told you we were in there last week and a guy came in and wanted to get a quote on a repair. He says, can you give me an estimate? And they went back to do the estimate and he waited about 5 or 6 minutes and out they came with the jewelry. It was already repaired and there was no charge. Whatever it was minor, and they fixed it and sent him on his way. A happy customer. How about that? Who does that? Can you imagine going to those corporate places at the mall and the way they would treat you compared to that? It's so mom and pop at Joslyn's, you're just going to love it. 95th and Antioch in Overland Park. Okay, more football news, and this pertains to the Chiefs a little bit more. We'll start with the Raiders because they're in the division. The Chiefs play the Raiders twice. Jimmy Garoppolo is the Raiders' new quarterback, and there was some speculation that he's injured and may not play at all this year. Well, there are reports out of Vegas that Garoppolo passed his physical Sunday, and he's pretty much good to go. Now, think and say what you want about the Raiders, about what they've been all through the years, but Garoppolo's won a lot of big games. Okay, Derek Carr beat the Chiefs a time or two. But Garoppolo's won some big games. He's played much higher level caliber of games than the Raiders have played. So they do have a quarterback that could take them up a level. Look, this is going to be, if you're in the Chiefs division, it just stinks. It's not a great time to be a Broncos, Chargers, or Raiders fan. It's just not. And, you know, the Chargers are probably going to be a good team again this year. They're working on a contract for Justin Herbert, their quarterback, and see if that plays out. Denver's probably a little hamstrung still with Russell Wilson's contract. They've got a new coach. This could be Russell Wilson's last year. Maybe it works in Denver with the new coaching staff. Maybe it does. But I think a lot of people were counting on the Raiders not having Jimmy Garoppolo. And I think they're welcoming him to camp, and he has passed his physical, and it looks like he is good to go. So there's some interesting news. Take it for what it is. Now, can Garoppolo get through a season without getting hurt? He doesn't do that very often. See that play out. But Garoppolo apparently has passed his physical and is ready to go. Then I love this one. The Chiefs' game one opponent is the Lions. And everybody went, huh? Why would the Chiefs open against the Lions? For a lot of folks, didn't make any sense. Until you dig into the stats and you see that the Lions were like literally one of the top offenses in the NFL last year. They played some wild games now. Some wild games. They've got a really energetic and tough young head coach, Dan Campbell. They can flat run the ball, but they've got a diverse offense and can throw it around. And Jared Goff probably doesn't get as much credit as he deserved for, you know, what they were able to accomplish last year. But this was inevitable because you're playing the first game. You're picked to win the division. When was the last? Has there ever been a time in your life where the Lions were picked to win the division? Ask yourself that. So the Lions are picked to win their division. And it's just a giant hype train is the way they're describing it. Dan Campbell went in front of the microphones and he's had enough. He's already had enough. He says this hype train is out of control. And it was very eloquent. He went into this long dissertation, long monologue of what it takes to be good. Nobody's going to hand us anything. You can sit here and say we have the pieces. If we don't know what to do with them, it doesn't mean anything. And he wasn't speaking to the fans and he wasn't speaking to the media. He was speaking to his players through the media. It's a very effective way to get your team's attention in training camp, but it does take it takes confidence and self-realization for a coach who really has never won anything to step up and say the hype train is out of control, all right, and we're going to stop this thing right now. And he's reminding his team, we haven't won anything. We may have some nice parts here. We may be a good football team, but we're not there yet. And we're opening in Kansas City. I mean, seriously. So I thought that was really cool to hear him say that. And I do like it when coaches do that. And football sometimes is the only place that you hear that. You know, you get around baseball and some other sports where individual players, it's just a more individual game. You know, baseball at its core is a guy throwing a ball and a guy hitting a ball. It's one-on-one competition. Yes, there's fielders. I get it. But it's basically one-on-one. NBA usually is a guy with a ball being guarded by another guy. And can he score or can he not? Football's different. You don't know where that ball's going. You don't know where the play's going. There's 11 guys on the field. Any one of them on any snap on either side of the ball could change the game at any moment. And that's what we love about football. So it really takes a cohesion, if you will. And it sounds like Dan Campbell, early in his camp, has not liked what he's seen. That maybe he's got some guys walking in thinking they're going to be great when they haven't won anything yet. So we love hearing stories like that. That's cool. I still like the fact that they're coached. You know, you don't come to spring training and break down Salvador Perez. You know what he is. You know who and what he is. And that's that. But in football, got to get them all on the same page. Hey, here's a fun event for your family. If you've never been to a rodeo or if you love rodeo and you want to go to a family-friendly Caw Valley rodeo, it's July 27, 28, 29, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right? No, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Is that right? Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the Caw Valley Rodeo. And my friends at the Bluemont Hotel are offering $99 rooms if you're going to the rodeo. It's a PRCA event. All the best in the business come to this rodeo to compete. Not to mention the Bustin' for the Kids, which is by far the best event in rodeo. We love that mutton bustin'. That's so much fun for the little ones. $99 for your family to stay at the Bluemont Hotel. this is, I mean, I don't know how else to say it. The Bluemont Hotel should be like a $300 or $400 a night hotel. It's just really nice. It's really, really nice. And my friends at the Bluemont want to offer you $99 this weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. If you'd like to stay at the Bluemont Hotel in Manhattan and go to the rodeo, $99. Log on to BluemontHotel.com. Cross Kitchens, KC, I'm going to see Tim this week. He is finishing the man cave at my buddy's house a couple blocks away. And he'll be there for whatever the completion day is. I said, whatever day you're completing, let me know. I'll come by. I'll bring you guys a 12-pack. We'll have a cold one and look at the new basement. They thought that sounds like a great idea. So I'm going to see Tim later this week. They just do beautiful work. I got a sneak preview of it last week. And it's just stunning what they've done with my friend's house. Completely remodeling their entire lower level. It's really, really cool. CrossKitchensKC.com. Family-owned and operated. And, of course, don't forget your promo codes, folks. MyPillow.com, MyStore.com. Promo code is KKHI. That is the biggest discount anywhere. You see other promo codes, other discounts, they will not be bigger than this one. KKHI is the maximum discount promo code that MyPillow offers. So anything you're shopping for, whether it's slippers, mattress toppers, sheets, or the $99 four-pack right now of MyPillows, your discount code is KKHI at MyPillow.com and MyStore.com. Elon Musk loves to make news, and he's one of those rare guys that somehow can make news on the weekends. And he does this frequently. It's like he gets out ahead of the news cycle by doing things sometimes on Sundays. And he did this on this particular Sunday by changing the name of Twitter to X Corp. Look, I'm not going to add a lot of commentary here because I don't know this business. I don't know social media. I'm not Elon Musk. He can brand his company whatever he wants. It's still called Twitter, isn't it? Are they going to change? So his goal, Elon Musk's goal, is to have one app for everything. Like you have all these apps on your phone. His goal is to have something called the X app, which then is everything. Apple's attempting to do this too. And load it onto their iPhone and control the market. Everybody wants this. Everybody, you know, you can't do anything anymore. You can't get a haircut without them wanting, yo, download the app, make your appointment. They want it because they want your information. They want you on their mailer. They want to be able to notify you. We get that. I ask you to subscribe or follow the podcast, and 32,000 of you have done that, and I think that's awesome, and I can't thank you enough for doing that. It means more people will hear the podcast when that occurs, but everybody's out there just trying to get all these subscribers, people, whatever. And Elon Musk's goal eventually is one app for everything. And I think it's going to be called the X app. I don't know. I think Twitter is still called Twitter, but the birds are going away. The little blue bird logo is going away. They've taken the sign down outside the offices in San Francisco, and there's a big X up now. He's got a new logo. The company is called, I mean, this sounds like something from an Iron Man movie, right? The company is called X Corp. That's the name of the company. Now, it's a private company, so he can name it whatever he wants. He bought Twitter Inc. and has now changed it into X Corporation, and that is their logo. It's an X. It's kind of cool. I'm not sure I understand why or what this means. Apparently, 75% of the people on Twitter are in agreement with this and okay with this, that it doesn't bother them. I don't know what it's all about, but Elon Musk stole the early week news cycle by debuting this on a Sunday for everyone to see. And the X logo is actually kind of cool. In the video they put out, it's kind of cool. And maybe you know. Maybe you know exactly what it is he's trying to do. I think more than anything, Elon Musk is trying to say, this is mine. Okay, this company is mine, and I bought it, and the Twitter bird is silly, and all this other stuff. So I guess more than anything else, maybe he's just trying to make a statement. That's what I'm seeing. As they race to and work toward the all everything app, which is what everybody wants. I just thought the iPhone was that device. Like the iPhone is all everything. Now it's got a million different apps on it, but doesn't it pretty much do everything in your life? Doesn't the iPhone pretty much do everything in your life that you need? Yeah. So we're going to have one app for that. That would be interesting. If somebody comes up with that or develops that and it does everything, I suspect that'll be lucrative. That would be lucrative for X Corp if Elon Musk is the guy. A couple of news stories out of the state of Missouri over the weekend. Did you see this Lake of the Ozarks boat crash? Wow. It happened about midnight Saturday night. Eight people in a boat aged 20 to 50, 21 to 51. They're all adults. Four men, four women. The driver of the boat was a 50-year-old dude from California and was drunk or has been cited for drinking and boating. And they're just flying through the main channel at the mile-and-a-half marker, 1.5-mile marker. And they hit the rocks in front of somebody's house, and the boat goes flying up into the air. All eight passengers ejected, and the boat slams into the house. I mean, it just crushed this house. You should see the damage to the house that this boat made. There are no real details on the injuries. It sounds like nobody died, which is remarkable when you look at the damage and see where the boat is. It's up on their yard, right up against the house. So maybe when they hit the rocks, everybody flew out and landed on maybe the grass before the boat hit the house. I don't know. It's one of the ugliest looking things I've ever seen. And this always happens at least once or twice a year at the Lake of the Ozarks. And it's always the same thing. It's always somebody boating, drunk, fast, in the dark. It's always the same. We wish those people well. None of them are Missourians. Said they're all from out of state. So, I mean, I don't know if that's Illinois or Kansas, or the driver was from California, if they're all from California. But that was somebody out of control and certainly didn't know the lake very well that ran up into those people's house at the mile and a half mark. If you haven't seen it, you can see the pictures on the interwebs. It is out there to be seen. Also from Missouri, the governor has signed the Show-Mo Bill. Show-Mo. Mo is in Missouri. Show-Mo Bill, which is going to re-implement tax credits for filmmakers and such to come do movies and television and things in Missouri. So not much is done in Hollywood anymore. The taxes in California are so high over the last 15 years or so, almost 20, every production's leaving Hollywood. A lot of them go to Canada. They get breaks in Canada. Atlanta has become a huge area, the state of Georgia, for filmmaking. There are other places. Oklahoma offered massive incentives to the Sylvester Stallone. They changed the name of Stallone's thing was going to be Kansas City, and they changed it to Tulsa King, and they film in Oklahoma now because they got tax breaks. If this had been implemented, Stallone's show would be based here in Kansas City, I feel sure. And it's a pretty cool show, very popular on Paramount Plus. But there are no real credits in Kansas or Missouri for films to come do this. Now, this doesn't sound like a massive deal, but it says they'll offer up to $8 million in tax breaks if you film in Missouri. The more you spend, the bigger your crew, the longer you stay in Missouri. And they like some rules of, we want you in rural areas. You know, I don't think the incentive is as good in Kansas City, Missouri, or St. Louis, Missouri, as it is in Warrensburg. Okay, they want to get to some areas, more rural type areas, and affect those towns in a meaningful way with hotel rentals, Airbnbs, money spent at restaurants, things like that. They're trying to help out the smaller areas in the state of Missouri, hoping this will happen. But this has become so competitive between states. I don't know if this is going to do anything. Is it too late? Is everybody already set up in Georgia? Is this a better deal? Is Missouri a better deal than Georgia? I don't know that it is. You got to transport everything there. I mean, they're building sound studios in Georgia, in Atlanta. They're building it all there. I mean, I like his idea, what he's trying to do here. It doesn't sound to me like it's that simple. So if you spend enough money and you're here long enough filming your movie, and sometimes that can be like a three-month deal, filming a movie, you can get up to $8 million in tax credits to do that in the state of Missouri. Missouri had that law for a long time. I don't know if it was this particular exact terms, but maybe about 5 or 10 years ago, they did away with it in Missouri. Kansas doesn't have anything. There's no filming of anything in Kansas. There's no breaks for filmmakers to come there and do that. And I've always said, especially like a show like Ozark, on Netflix, they film that in Georgia. They don't film that at the Lake of the Ozarks. They film it in Georgia. And it's a shame because there's plenty of content you know, based on where we live, there's a lot of different shows and things out there in the Midwest, in our area, that could easily be filmed here. And it basically is free publicity for where you live. And there's no bad publicity in film. You know, how many different shows have been set in Las Vegas? You know, Las Vegas CSI or whatever, all the murders. You don't really believe that it's like that. You know, you see things and you don't, it's suspended reality. It's Hollywood. It's fake. And I do like the idea of trying to do this, but I'm not all that optimistic we're going to see a whole bunch of movies filmed in Missouri. I hope so, but I'm not completely convinced of that. Donald Trump Jr. made some news over the weekend on Megyn Kelly's podcast. Donald Trump Jr. says he's been blacklisted from Fox News. Doesn't know why. Says there's been no communication, no reason given. He said next month, August, will be a year since he's been on Fox News as a guest. A full year. He says, quote, it just went dark, unquote. He was on apparently last August, and then nobody's ever called back, and nobody's ever said anything. He said, we get it. He said, I think at the time, I was polling number two behind my dad as presidential candidate. And that's when I think it was Trump. Then Trump, this was before Donald Trump said he's running. It was Trump, then it was Trump Jr., then it was DeSantis. That's the way the polls looked. And they pulled the plug on him, and he's not being seen on Fox News. And he says, I apparently they have a blacklist and a code, and this is one of the things that they do. And Donald Trump Jr. is not part of that. My wife loves following him on social media. He is a ball buster, man. He takes shots at people. I mean, he really is. He takes harder shots at people than his dad in many ways. And there's just there's a competence to his level of social media that really drives the left crazy. He loves to take pictures with guns. The more guns and rifles and hunting trips and things he goes on, the better. He just loads that up and watches their heads explode. Loves doing that. But he's an interesting guy. I don't know if he'll ever run someday. He may. I don't know why he wouldn't. Once his dad is out of the way, and that's 2024, win or lose, that's the end for Trump. He's either going to get four more years as president, or he's an ex-president at that point. He would be out and moved on from the party and the voters, I do believe. But his legacy, we've seen what's happened with our party and our voters and conservative Americans. That's Trump's legacy no matter what. That isn't changing. When he came down that escalator in 2015, he taught us all that we can say what we want, free speech rules, and we can be ourselves, and we don't have to be ashamed of it. And we're not taking any crap from anybody else. He basically taught us that we don't have to take this anymore. We don't have to sit here in silence. Said it a million times. I would not be doing this podcast today if Donald Trump had never run. I think we'd be the same old John McCain, Mitt Romney, certain extent, George Bush, the end of his 8 years, he went left. I think that's where our party would be. Paul Ryan maybe would be running for something. Trump's changed our party for the better. Everybody sees that. Everybody knows that. And maybe Don Jr. is the next wave. You never really know. How about this? You've seen these stores that tell their employees, if somebody goes to steal something, don't stop them. Just let them. I think Lululemon said that. The Nike stores or whatever, there's been several retailers say, don't, just let them go. We'll try to catch them later, let them go. With some people that doesn't sit well, and maybe it's certain people, maybe it's people of a certain age or generation, but a 68-year-old woman named Donna Hansbrough works at Lowe's in Georgia, and she was beaten up by three thieves. And she got beat up pretty good. She's going to be okay. She tried to grab their buggy. They were stealing $2,100 worth of stuff. She grabs their buggy. She never actually hit one of them or grabbed them. She grabbed the buggy and tried to keep them from taking the buggy out. They pummeled her. Then Lowe's fired her. I mean, what? You fired her. I mean, she probably doesn't want to work there anymore anyway, but you fired her. She's 68 years old. She's trying to save you. She's just trying to keep the cart from going out because they didn't pay for anything. I don't, you know, they got those alarm things and you walk through it and it makes a beep sound if you didn't pay. When that happens, why don't they just have some sort of thing that locks the doors momentarily? If you know that that's what happens and you can't get out with it, you won't steal it. There's loss prevention. There has to be a way to stop this. There just has to be. To me, it would just be automatically lock the doors. And if you did that, you can't get out with your stuff. You go through the alarm goes off. Uh-oh, these people are stealing. Door's locked. That's it. But these companies apparently just, the real problem here is we're paying for it in the price of everything. You pay for all the stolen stuff. It's not free. It's not, oh, the company can afford it. That's not it. Every other customer pays for the stuff people steal. We pay for it. We get stuck with the tab on that. And it's no fun. We wish Donna Hansbro the best. Maybe she'll go to work at Home Depot and see if that works for her. All right, our final is brought to you by Tickets for Less. This July and August, concerts. If you're going to a concert, Tickets for Less, it's the place to get the best seats at the best price. Use that promo code KKHI. Chiefs tickets, preseason, regular season. Line them up right now. Ticketsforless.com has you covered with everything you need to see the Royals, the Chiefs, the biggest and best concerts. It's all on. Or you can call them at 913-685-3322. It's very simple. Your promo code at checkout is KKHI. Will always save you between 5 and 15% at ticketsforless.com. North Kansas City Dental, Dr. Bill Bush would like to be your new dentist. Why not? He's the dentist to the Chiefs players. If he's doing all the Chiefs players' beautiful smiles and regular dentistry, he can just be doing yours as well. Probably spin you a good story or two right there in the chair. He's really a good dude, and he's got a great practice. North Kansas City Dental, two locations, north of the river and Westwood on the Kansas side, 816-471-2911, online at nkcdental.com. And Amini's Galleria, outdoor furniture, rugs, game room tables, pinball, golden tee, pool tables, shuffleboard. Oh, they got it all. It's such a fun place. Amini's is the place to go. Maybe you're looking for new leather chairs, theater seating, for your man cave, or bar stools for the football season. Whatever it may be, Amini's will treat you like a VIP. Just mention the podcast when you walk in, and you're part of the family at Amini's. 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park, also in St. Louis, Tulsa, and Oklahoma City, online at aminis.com. Our final is Shark Week. Shark Week started. It started on Sunday night, and I caught part of it. I didn't catch all of it. I caught part of it, and it was good. I like Shark Week. The difference between the best Shark Week shows and the worst Shark Week shows is as wide as the Grand Canyon. When they're not good, they're not good. When they're good, they're great. You know, my particular favorites are almost always near South Africa or New Zealand with when the sharks breach, when they go after those fake seals. I just love it. And those great whites go flying up into the air, and then they show it in slow motion. Incredible animals, just ridiculous watching all these sharks and the things that they do. I like reading about shark history. You know, the movie Jaws had the famous scene where Quint is talking about the USS Indianapolis in World War II. The Japanese bombed it, and 300 and some men were tossed into the water, and like over half of them were killed by and eaten by sharks. Just ridiculous stuff that's out there if you want to read about sharks. But I've been promoting this, and now I know exactly when it is going to air. The one Shark Week show that I do not want to miss, and I'll be setting my DVR for it, just in case, Wednesday, 9 p.m., Discovery Channel, Cocaine Sharks. Yeah, Cocaine Sharks. The preview of this thing, they show all these bundled drugs, these bales of cocaine that the drug lords get close to Florida, and they drop them in the water. And then the smugglers come and get them and do the illegal part and bring them on land and distribute them in the United States, which is the hardest part because you're doing that at night and everything, you know, all kinds of stuff, trying to get that stuff on the mainland into Florida. There are scientists that say the sharks are biting into the cocaine stashes. I can't wait to see this. I don't know exactly if it's true. I don't know if it's happening or not, but I can't wait. And there it is. Your program note for the week. 9 o'clock, Wednesday night, Shark Week, Discovery Channel. It's cocaine sharks. Great stuff. We're off and running this week. We're going to have Ryan LaFever on the show later in the week. We've got obviously a lot of things going on with Chiefs camp, and the college football teams are in camp now. Missouri put out its depth chart already. So a lot of good football topics to be talking about. It's going to be a fun week of podcasts. We're always so pleased to have you here with us. I can't thank you enough for hitting that like, follow, or subscribe button and for listening every day that you possibly can to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.